knocking ourselves down again and again.
Jack and JB trotted back with only their weapons in their hands. Jack shook his head, his long white hair flowing behind him.
No keys in the desk.
Not surprised. The guard usually has them on a ring on his belt.
Why didn't you tell us?
Jack swung out a pale hand and slapped the cell bars next to Dean's face.
I was hoping for a spare set, stoop. Gotta be a second set of keys somewhere in case the first set gets lost.
Well, guess we'll have to blast.
JB bent down for a closer look at the lock on the cell door.
Uh-oh.
What's uh-oh? That's a phrase I'm not used to hearing out of you, JB.
We got a problem. This isn't your ordinary cell door lock. It's been modified.
The armorer pointed up to a box in the corner of Dean's cell.
There's a charge and a lock mechanism. Don't use the key and you break a circuit. My guess is there's enough high X in that box there to envelop the entire cell and whoever's dumb enough to be standing right in front of it.
Meaning what?
Like I said, uh-oh.
Can you bypass the lock?
Maybe.
JB took off his fedora and ran his fingers through his closely cropped hair as he squinted at the lock.
I know how to, anyway.
Good.
Just never done it before on a deal like this.
Well, JB, this is the first time for everything.
Ryan grabbed the comm unit off his belt and thumbed the send button.
Ryan here.
What's the holdup, lover? Doc and I just had to shoo away an angry mall tenant who came rampaging in here. Seems his vintage clothing depot was ransacked and he's mad, threatening to pull his shop out and report us to the mall managers.
How'd you get rid of him?
Told him to go tell somebody who cared.
Good girl. We've hit a snag. The lock on Dean's cell has a bomb in it.
Gaia! If it's not one thing, it's another.
JB's gonna crack the door. Rest of us are coming back up front with you. No sense in all of us getting caught in the middle, in case something goes wrong.
Right. Christy out.
Ryan reached in through the iron bars with his hands and arms, drawing his son close for a brief, tight hug.
Hang tight, Dean. JB's the best in Deathlands with this kind of rig. He'll be out of here before you know it.
As Ryan broke the hug and stepped back, JB was already sitting on the floor, his legs crossed under his body. From his leather coat, he'd taken a small metal box and a stained cloth. In the cloth was a series of shiny metal tools resembling surgical implements. The box held his lockpicks.
Here, JB, take my comm unit. We'll keep in touch with you by using Christie's radio.
Be careful.
I will, Millie. Now get going. The sooner I get to this, the better.
Ryan nodded, and with one last look at his son, he and Mildred retreated back the way they had come. Then the boy and the armorer were alone, seated on the cold floor and facing each other through the iron bars of the cell.
You really know how to deactivate this thing?
Of course.
So let's do it.
Out in the admittance area of the wings, long minutes had passed. JB hadn't checked in via the comm. There was no real reason for constant chatter. If he failed at his task, the others would know it immediately from the explosion. Mildred tried to take her mind off of JB by glancing toward the way out to the mob scene.
Ryan, how do you think it's going out in the mall proper?
From what I saw coming in, lousy.
Just human nature. With all of the good, you get more of the bad. This proud beacon named Freedom was an ambitious experiment. In a smaller configuration, it might have continued to thrive. Alas, the body outgrew the head, and now it falls.
Damn stickies.
Stickies didn't help, but Duck's got a point, Jack. Freedom didn't have near the amount of sect men needed to properly protect the place, either from the outside or from itself.
Ryan glanced at his wrist chron for the 50th time since he'd come out of the cell block.
It's taking too long. JB? JB, answer me! JB, goddammit! Answer me before I come in after you!
What? I'm kinda busy here.
It's been 20 minutes. You're taking too long.
Working as fast as I can, Ryan.
We'll work even faster. Last thing we need is to have all our asses locked up, or to be backed against the wall by a group of pissed off mall customers running from a gang of stickies.
You wanna get down here and do this?
If you think it would help, yeah.
You don't have the patience. You never did.
Bullshit.
Get off it, Ryan. You used to drive Trader crazy back in the old days, always wanting to go in with blasters blazing, and Trader wasn't exactly what I'd call a patient man either, if you know what I mean.
What I know is that those alarms are gonna draw some attention, sticky attack or not.
Look, if I could blast the bastard lock, I would, but we don't have that particular time-saving option available. This is delicate work. I can rush it if you want Dean back without a head. That I can do for you.
That isn't an option, JB.
Okay, so unless you want to start leading your son around by the hand to keep him from bumping into the furniture, I can't afford to rush this. If that's not the case, I suggest you back the hell off and stop pushing. When he's free, you'll be the first to know. Dick's out.
Fine.
Ryan gritted his teeth and flipped the comm's voice toggle to off. He knew JB was right, but that didn't make waiting any easier. Nor did the remote chance that his friend might indeed make an error and cause injury to the imprisoned Dean. Christy started to say something, but Ryan held up a hand.
Don't! Don't want to hear it.
At the door of the cell, JB sweated profusely. Trickles of perspiration were running down his forehead and onto the bridge of his nose and on his cheeks. His glasses were slightly fogged from the body heat, but he didn't dare try to take the time to keep wiping them when he was so close to succeeding. Still, it was becoming quite annoying.
Can't see worth a shit. These new glasses fog up a lot quicker than my old ones.
Try the other pair.
I'd rather take my chances with these, Dean.
I'm serious. Right now, I'm not going to be laughing at how they might look, that's for sure.
Taking his hands away from the locking mechanism, JB quickly took his specs off and pulled out the case with the wide-framed lenses. He placed the pair of backup glasses on his nose and tucked his regular set away in their box. Dean tried to keep his face straight.
Sorry, nerves.
Right.
JB went back to his task, making another quick adjustment.
Okay, Dean?
Yeah, JB?
Oh, never mind.
What?
I was gonna tell you to step back to the rear of the cell, but if this thing goes off, it's not gonna matter where you're standing.
Oh, thanks for thinking of me.
I got one wire left to cut on this sec lock. Cutting it should short the current and allow the door to be slid open without activating the charge.
Guess the key word here is should, right?
Yeah.
You think I should crawl under my bunk?
Only if it would make you feel better.
Nah. Guess I'll stand here and face it with you.
JB reached out with a miniature pair of pliers, then paused.
There's one thing you could do for me, Dean.
What?
Stick your fingers in your ears. That way you won't have to hear the blast in case I did screw up.
Before the boy could offer a reply, JB squeezed the pliers shut and cut the connecting wire. Beck Morgan, puppet master of freedom, had chosen his stand near a formal Royal Thomasville furniture store that had been remodeled into a tattoo parlor. The wooden chair hanging over the doorway and marking the store's entrance hadn't been removed when the new tenants came in. All they had done was add a posed mannequin covered in a patchwork of ornate body art, showing off the proprietor's wares. Morgan had gotten out his private arsenal and was battling a bottom-floor sticky horde almost single-handedly. The leader of Freedom Mall was bleeding from several superficial wounds, most of which appeared to have been caused by shrapnel from the blown wall or from the pieces of brick and concrete the stickies were lobbing at him instead of bullets. The mastermind behind the Stickies' attack on Freedom had chosen their lower point of entry and advancement well, blasting in through a former side entrance into the pre-dark mall that had once been nothing but tinted glass and metal framing. The wall had been bricked shut and reinforced during the Freedom renovation to make the former retail pleasure palace a virtual fortress, but this was still a potential weak point that had been allowed to exist without worry or fear. Until now.
Come on, you stoop bastards! I got a lead tattoo for your sorry asses!
Morgan launched another steel-jacketed salvo. He knew his supplies of ammo were running low, but he couldn't afford the luxury of taking the Uzi in his hands down to single shot. A tall muti came rushing around the temporary barricade of rubble and debris Morgan had chosen for his safe haven. The man-beast's arms were flailing, and its eyes rolled in their huge sockets like pinwheels as the creature ran, bare feet slapping hard on the tile floor. Before Morgan could squeeze off a round, the mutie had eagerly jumped the barricade.
Bud will get you!
Death at close range or far off, it doesn't matter much to me, asshole!
Morgan fired at the sticky, causing the brute's white torso to churn up in a frothy, bloody mess. The shots didn't even slow the big mutant as it continued to lumber forward, grabbing the shocked leader of Freedom by the shirt with both hands and bodily lifting him up into the air. Blood continued to pour from the wide furrows Morgan's weapon had made into the sticky's chest, and still the creature lifted the man even higher. The mall administrator kicked his feet weakly as he struggled in the crushing grip.
Fireplace, Morgan.
Ryan, in the lead of his group of friends, saw the situation, took in the risks, and made his choice, launching his lean body like a missile and hitting the big muti at knee level. Knocked off balance, the already injured Sticky buckled beneath Morgan's weight, and both of them crashed to the floor as Ryan rolled frantically away to avoid joining the pile. Ryan whipped out his panga as he got back to his feet and buried it into the back of the Sticky's exposed head. Even as Morgan pressed the advantage Ryan had given him, managing to pull a .38 caliber pistol from an ankle holster. He fired at another Sticky who had chosen that moment to also try to come over the barricade. By this time, Jack, Mildred, Christy, Doc, and JB and Dean had pulled their own various pieces of hardware and readied them for battle.
Carter, see you fetched your boy.
No thanks to the lock on that cell door.
Never dreamed they'd launch this kind of assault so suddenly. One of the muty bastards has some mercy training, that's for damn sure.
We help wrap this up and get you out. We're done, Morgan.
Fine.
Doc clawed out his massive Lamar, thumbing back on the hammer. Steadying the heavy gun as best he could, he aimed the portable cannon at the midst of another advancing swarm of Stickies and fired. More slugs whizzed over the group's heads, many of the lead alloy core bullets coming dangerously close to finding a target. One near-fatal bullet whipped past JB's battered fedora, pulling it back off his head, where it landed softly on the ground.
Fire blast!
JD reached and snatched up his beloved hat, checking it for damage.
Clean, no holes.
Great, JP. How about admiring it later when the chilling's finished?
Hey, you, One-Eye!
Who wants to know?
You and your group are dead, One-Eye. Chilled and buried. Well, put your head in the fire, let it cook for an hour or so. See if that beauty slut of yours wants to ride you then.
A disfigured man stepped into view. The ruined slash of his mouth twisted into a snarl.
Another freedom burned to the ground, One-Eye! What do you think about that?
Lester? Lester, is that you?
Who? Quiet, Dean.
Christy didn't want to think about Lester, or Baron Willie Elijah, or most of all, Lord Ka, who had chosen her to be his bride and to mother his successor, his child and future mutant ruler of the Deathlands. JB and Mildred traded stunned looks.
Can't be. Can't be. That elevator slaver wheel chilled everyone that was chained to it. No way our boy Lester could have survived.
None of us bothered going back to sift through the ashes for a body count.
All your fault, One-Eye. Your fault, I'm a freak. You brought death to Willieville. Death and fire. And now I've brought it back to you.
Ah, oh, come on, Lester. You were a freak before I even met you.
Yeah!
Infuriated, the man once known as Johnson Lester lunged for Ryan. He was on top of the one-eyed warrior before Ryan even had time to pull up his Sig Sauer. The angry killer wrapped his arms around Ryan's lower body and legs and shoved forward, shoved as hard as he could. Ryan's hand was slick with sweat and blood, and before he could bring his panga up for a killing blow, he lost his grip on the blade's handle, and the long knife went skittering away across the tile. JB unlimbered his shotgun.
Fuck this. Time to end it.
Hold up. The way that freak is twisting around, you might hit Ryan, especially with a scatter gun.
Give me your pistol then, Christy.
Just hold off, JB, until they're farther apart. Stoop isn't even armed.
Ryan stumbled back, still trying to stay on his feet. He put his hands together, feeling the fingers interlace and lock together. Then he brought them down hard on his adversary's back. Ryan broke the man's grip on his legs, then fell back a step, waiting and watching intently as his foe reached down for one of his own pants-covered ankles. Ryan guessed that the scarred man was going for a hidden blade or a small caliber pistol, so he lashed out with a booted foot and caught Lester in the throat. The disfigured man shook off the blow. For a man whose entire head was once ablaze, a kick to the throat was like a lover's kiss. Ryan was ready for Lester as he came lunging back up, his shoulder slamming the one-eyed man in the chest. Lester's arms slithered around Ryan, locking behind his back as the force of the charge sent the two of them falling backward. Ryan's first impulse was to slam his hands against the unprotected sides of Lester's head, boxing his ears, until it dawned on Ryan that the man had no ears. So Ryan locked his thumbs into the man's eye sockets and pressed. Lester tried to fight through the pain of having his already damaged eyes gouged out, and instead sunk his teeth into his enemy's right wrist, breaking the skin and causing streamers of coppery-tasting blood to spurt out. But fear of being blinded outweighed his ability to fight, and Lester released his grip on Ryan and reeled backward. Christy fired her Smith & Wesson. The self-styled leader of the Winston Stickies tumbled backward and moved no more. Morgan got to his feet and glanced at Christy.
Nice shooting.
The other Stickies, seeing their leader fall, eased up on their attack, choosing instead to follow their own whims.
They're easing off. Time for us to ease off, too, I think. Come on, Ryan.
Where the hell are you going?
Freedom's lost, Carter. But I'm still in debt for your assist in saving my hide.